It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome in to Sports Time. Bryant Dacus, Brett Norsworthy, Johnny Hill with you. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours. Plenty to get into, obviously, the NBA playoff games last night. We've got NBA playoff games tonight. Some baseball action that we'll have to get to. Golf picks today. Two tourney week for us with golf picks. So a ton to get to over these next 3 hours. But I do want to remind people, if you're tuning in today or later today for Ole Miss baseball, we're going to join in progress of that game at 6 o'clock, their game tonight. So don't get worried at 5 o'clock or 4:30 if you don't hear David Kellum. We'll have that action following us at 6 o'clock. But, Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing great, and I don't think I've ever been more happy to see a Cardinal rainout than today.
Well, you know, it's kind of the way the season has gone, and last night just was even more brutal to the brutal start of the season with Contreras' injury, and not just a, you know, injury that's going to keep him out a couple days, 6 to 8 weeks at the least, and
that's post All-Star break.
Yo, absolutely. So that was awful. You're right. I think when I saw that game was going to be delayed, I was like, man, I would almost prefer them just to delay it and not make me have to go through a Cardinals game today.
And with it being the last of the homestand against the Mets, the last game of the series against the Mets, and there's no return trip by the Mets this year. The Cardinals do go to New York later in the year. No, they've already been to New York. So good chance this one may not get made up because there's not a lot of wiggle room in the schedule.
Did you see a date? Yeah, I want to say I saw a date.
Thursday after the All-Star game is very popular for some, because most people start back on Friday, but a lot don't. So if you had to play that one, in September, there are only three dates the Cardinals aren't scheduled to play in the month of September. Now, if it came down to mattering, they would play the Monday after the last day of the year, but it's not going to matter for St. Louis. It may for the Mets.
So it looks like at least the reporting out of St. Louis from all of those beat writers is that the makeup date will be on August 5th, while the Mets are they're going to be in Los Angeles on the 4th. They're going to come to St. Louis on the 5th and then go back out to Colorado on the 6th to start another series. I guess we've got an open date in there on August 5th, so they'll play that Monday, August 5th at 4:15 p.m.
Well, they know what they're doing because that date works. So, yeah. The Cardinals are finishing a series in Chicago against the Cubs that weekend before starting a home series against Tampa Bay. I hope it doesn't get made up.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't either. But we'll.
I'm afraid by May 5th I could be very detached.
I think so. I think you'll probably get there very quickly this year. I know last year, you know, we've already talked
from the Cardinals,
about this,
not from baseball.
Right. But you know, we talked about it. It felt like middle to late August last year was kind of the time that it happened, when we were kind of, you know, football right there around the corner, and you can start thinking about that. But this year it feels like probably earlier than that, you know, with back-to-back really, really bad seasons, it feels like it might, you know, happen maybe middle of summer.
Feel it coming. We even talked about, you know, what if this team started taking on injuries like last year, that it be a 110 loss team. It could really go up there if, you know, one of the pitchers went down in one wheel. You know, the severity, is it 2 weeks or 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Is it 3 weeks or 9 weeks? Is it the end of the, cancel the year or finish the year off for him or not? And Sonny Gray, who was going to go today, he's about the most reliable guy you're running out there.
Yeah.
Last night I went to the Redbirds game. I said I would yesterday.
Yeah.
And I did, and really wanted to see Norfolk, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. And they are lined up wingtip to wingtip. They got the players.
Yeah, I mean, I was able to catch a couple of their games online at the beginning of the season and looked like it. I mean, looked like the most dominant minor league team out there. And so it sounds like they're still doing that same thing. I love that.
I love everything about their approach, how they run, how they play defense, how they approach batting. If you have that kind of that hard liner, Jackson Holliday led off the top of the first. They had five runs before the Redbirds ever batted last night.
Holy cow. He
led off the game with, you know, that hit kind of to the right side of, to the second base side of second base. Uh-huh. But, you know, it shot through fast that, you know, most, you know, above American Legion, above high school, center fielders field cleanly, throw into second. And he beat it down the line, made that big, hard turn that forces you to have one eye kind of on him and pick it up cleanly and throw it in. Mm-hmm. If he bobbles it at all, he's gonna stand up on second.
Oh, yeah.
They do it on every base for every attempt.
Crazy.
And I love that aggressiveness. You can see that, you know, finally the Orioles have their stuff together. It took a while.
They sure do, and yeah, it took a lot of bad years, but they really have it going. I mean, you look at this team that they've already got in the pros, and they're doing their thing and playing really well with a lot of really young, talented players, and it seems like they've just got, you know, whatever, you know, pick whatever position you want, and it feels like they've got a young prospect at AAA.
Would you want to go through that like the Astros did as well? The Astros had to hit rock bottom to get all the draft picks and get a lot of things right and get it right, hiring Jeff Luhnow and other baseball operations people. And now, maybe not so far this year, but they've been on a good run. Never mind the stuff off the field. On the field, they've been on a good run. The Orioles did it. The Braves didn't go to bottom quite like that, right, but it hit really tougher times, especially for them. And now they look like – would you want to – if the Cardinals are going through the next – 5-6 years of a couple of hundred lost seasons to eventually get it turned around, say in 28-29, and get back rolling again, is it worth it?
It might be. I mean, I would, if I could pick and choose, I would say give me the, you know, timeline and makeup of like what the Braves did, like you said, you know, not completely rock bottom, but, you know, certainly not great seasons and struggled in there, but able to retool and get a lot of things right. But it would be tough to, you know, go through a bunch of complete rock bottom seasons.
And yesterday, watching the NHL draft stay chalky all the way through, and we're going to have the NBA lottery Sunday afternoon. And I don't think it'll be that chalky, but it could be.
Could be.
I got a really novel idea for teams around sports.
Okay.
The last go first.
Yeah. That would make it easier, and certainly NHL made it seem like they wanted that. Yesterday.
Nothing is tank proof.
Nope.
And if you're that big a loser to tank, then okay.
Yeah, go for it. But no, I think you're right. I mean, yesterday what we saw in that draft lottery was, I mean, lunacy. I've never seen something like that.
It was Al Capone's vault.
I've never seen anything.
And they opened it up and there was nothing in it.
Just, yeah, here exactly what y'all thought would happen has happened. But it turned out to be what nobody thought would happen, because nobody would have guessed, oh, exactly what it looks like now is what it will look like after the lottery. But I think that's a thought, and I wouldn't mind it at all. You know, if you're the worst, you pick first. And let's
What's the reaction near and far if the NBA was pure chalk Sunday?
I think
in their ping pong balls.
I think there would be a lot of kind of the same reaction that we had yesterday of, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way that it just went that chalky. I don't think anybody's like mad about it.
One thing about chalk though is that is last going first.
It is. So you would like, but I don't think people would be happy about it. But I don't think anybody's gonna like hate on it. I think it's just gonna be kind of the reaction we had yesterday. Like, I can't believe this is actually happening right now. This is not exciting. This is crazy. That sort of thing. I don't know if people would be, you know, in favor. I certainly don't think anybody would be in favor of it, though.
Brian, I ran into a friend of mine yesterday who, for years, I'm not going to call his name, for years, a part of the Memphis media, very well known, mm-hmm. really knows the how it ticks.
Sure.
And he said to me, and really, I missed the Redbirds game last night. I thought of what he said. He goes, how come everything now has to be the biggest ever?
Mm, yeah.
And so dramatic. Mm-hmm. And whether it's ping pong ball night or, you know, just completed draft, we know the first round's big, but,
sure,
you know, is that fourth round really that big?
No. No, not at all.
And I agreed with him that everything, and it started with kind of news, and it started on the afternoon of 9/11. Yeah. That's where the ticker began, the constant ticker on everything. Oh, yeah. That's where the ticker began. And, you know, we were just, you know, news TV junkies for 10 days, you know, just, you know, wondering, you know, really, you know, sorry for the lost souls at Ground Zero and wondering if, you know, the country would be attacked again and, you know, we were safe and, airlines, everything. You know, we were just watching it, fixated on it, just riveted by, you know, what's next. And that compunction has just only been magnified into everything is the biggest, neatest thing ever.
Sure. Yeah. When, I mean, you're right. Everything is going to.
And it can't be.
No, it can't. But, and I think, you know, television, like you said, also has to do with that. I think at least, you know, TV execs and stuff like that, to draw more people, we got to make it the biggest and try to get all of the excitement around it. And so you almost see every single year things like that that you have once a year, the draft, the lottery, the, you know, things like that. They try to one up from last year. Okay, how can we be better from last year and make it even bigger and better? But I'm with you. I don't think it needs to be bigger and better and more spectacular or anything.
It's like every single sentence is teased to after the break, the breaking news of.
Yes, yes. Well, that's what.
And sometimes it's not really breaking news, and it's not that big.
No.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's old newspaper day, you know, 4-inch headlines.
Sure. But that's, I mean, you know, when we were watching this NHL draft lottery in here, we were talking about, you know, they were going to breaks between picks, and they were showing, you know, B-roll and different stats from players. I mean, it was so drawn out of something that I think realistically could be a 5-minute hit on SportsCenter, and hey, we're gonna have the quick NHL draft lottery, and you know, announce it real quick, and then be done with it. But we've got to make it a 30-minute show and fill that time and make it all
a lot of graphics,
bed.
A lot of B-roll,
a lot of graphics, and a lot of B-roll that I really do not need in my life.
And I understand the clicks, sub, list. Well, I've been in this most of my life. I understand, you know, you got to pull people in, and with that, and I'm not assigning any motive at all. But today, in the Commercial Appeal, columnist Mark Giannotto wrote about Coach Penny Hardaway's done it again. He's won the offseason, and that we should just embrace it. Tell me what embracing it means, Brian. In your opinion, what does embracing the offseason mean?
I don't know. I think it almost to me sounds like rally around this team and rally around Penny Hardaway and what he's kind of brought in.
The fans rally around it?
Yes.
Or the media?
I think everybody, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with Brian. I think it's everybody.
But I think
from the fans to the media to rally around.
I can see it both sides. So maybe
but I mean, does that mean we all get in lockstep of saying second weekend?
I don't think so. But
is it make the tournament?
I think that's what it is for me, at least.
That's what it is for me.
Is it average 9,000 instead of 7,000? Is it the hum the fight song it every time you see somebody?
That'd be nice. I don't know.
Does it mean have expectations of beating Rice at home and Tulane on the road at Cameron Indoor Tulane Fieldhouse?
That would certainly help things, I think, because that certainly didn't happen last year.
Does it mean not having a fifth-year player that you're relying on, not having an academic scandal at the worst timing of the year, and we don't know how that's going to end? It could end in a nothing burger, but it could end very ugly. It was bad enough that he had to be set down for critical games.
Sure was. A lot of critical games. I think there are a ton of questions that I think is not just answered by off-season acquisitions.
In the political world, they judge it by favorabilities.
Okay.
What would you say around town Penny Hardaway's favorable rating would be? We know when hired, shoe game, suit game, all the signees, it was at or near 100%, wasn't it?
Sure, absolutely.
And the tough thing about coaching compared to politics, you got to go out there and do it every year.
Yeah.
In politics, you only run for the House every 2 years, the Senate every six, and if you make it to president, you only got to do it twice and reelect after 4 years. Yeah. In coaching, it's every year. In sports, unlike in politics, we have a very definitive real-world scoreboard and history book. I can go and look and see what you did in the 21-22 season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very quickly and easily.
What would you think the favorable rating would be? Just your guess. I'm going to ask it twofold.
Okay.
What would the favorability rating be among fans? Mm. And what do you think the favorability rating is among Memphis media?
Oh, geez. I still think it's pretty high because I think at the end of the day it's still Penny Hardaway, and I still think people are rallying around him and still giving him time. I would say certainly not 100 like it was when he first got hired, but I would say, 75 or 80?
Okay, with that, if it's that, then that sure doesn't translate and correspond to tickets being sold, because that building is nowhere near 75 or 80% full.
That's true.
It's less than 50% full.
Yeah.
And that is a big way to judge how popular you are. And that corresponds with that left-hand column.
Sure.
And advancing and going into the tournament.
Mm-hmm. And not just the left-hand column through December. The left-hand column through February and March.
And sure, not one in May and June.
No. What left-hand column in May or June?
What do you think the media rating would be? If you polled every single person that weighs in, writing, talking, reporting, TV, radio, every communication, pods, everything that weighs in on Tiger basketball, what do you think the favorability rating would be there?
65?
I think it'd be close to 100.
Really? Wow.
Who around town really have you heard gets down hard on him?
Nobody. That's a good
Nobody.
Point.
Nobody.
That's a very good point.
I mean, in unison and fairly and accurately, he's not going to be fired. He shouldn't be fired. He's going to be coached through the end of that contract.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You got me. I do think it's higher. You're right.
So I don't know what embracing means.
Yeah.
I mean, just suspending my brain and just at every mention, go Tigers, go.
Go Tigers. Team's going to be great. They've got all the stars. Look at these.
Haven't we done that?
Brett, every year, every offseason.
Didn't we collectively, for valid reasons, do it at 15-2?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And I said I think it's top 10, top 15 most loaded roster in the country. Now, they did suffer a big injury.
Sure.
Caleb Mills.
Sure. One player, though. I think that team was still talented, and there were other issues that became a bigger problem to it. But, yeah, I mean, so, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. But I feel like we're going to continue to play this game of, look at this offseason edition. Look at this edition. Look at this guy. This guy was at this place, and look how he can play a role. So we'll have to see. But let me set up today's show before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, we'll get into the NBA playoffs pair of games. Last night, only one game tonight, but I think it's going to be a really good one. Pacers and Knicks. We'll talk about what we saw in those two games last night. Also preview that big one for tonight. 3:45, we did our exercise yesterday with the coaches. Now we'll hop over to the players. Top 10 NBA players right now in the playoffs. Brett, earlier before the show started, we were talking about, we didn't give away any of the people we have on our list, but we did say I'm curious how similar they are. I feel pretty confident to say we probably have number one the same. I don't know after that.
I don't know that we do.
Really?
I don't know that we do. I want to see. I think our numbers will change a lot.
Certainly.
But I just wonder if somebody not on my list is on yours and vice versa. We'll see. It'll be fun, and we want people.
Definitely. So definitely send those in if we get to it and you think we didn't put somebody on the list, text it in. Let us know at the Sissy's Log Cabin text line. 4 o'clock, John Goen from Timber Trust Golf. He'll join us. We'll talk some golf and make some picks with him. Like I mentioned earlier, two tournaments to pick this weekend. So it's going to be a ton of picks around 4:15 or so. 4:30, we'll talk some baseball as it was a busy night. Last night, we already had some games go final this afternoon, so plenty of baseball to get to. 4:45, we'll get to big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Rob Fisher. He'll join us to talk the NBA and NBA playoffs. Plenty to get to with him. We might have to get a little update on the hockey as well with him. I'm telling you, Johnny, I don't know if you saw those two games last night, but they were thrillers in the NHL. Both games went to overtime. One went to double overtime. So, I mean, just unbelievable games. But
the Stars broke mine and Johnny's heart.
Crazy.
Yeah,
insane. Of course,
I didn't realize my heart was broken until I woke up this morning,
well,
Johnny.
Hey, me. Hey, I was about to just say
right.
that. I said, Brian,
I realized,
was it?
It's all right.
That's why I didn't sleep well last night.
Hey,
I knew something was going on.
Deep in your soul, you knew something wasn't right.
I thought I was still agonizing over the Redbirds.
There was something wrong.
Only to find out in the morning that it was the Stars. But we'll talk to Rob Fisher from Grind City Media, all of the Grizzlies television broadcasts. He'll join us to talk the NBA. 5:30, we'll get to what's trending. 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Taco Bell Crunch Time. But let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. Factory Direct Pricing is going on right now for swimming pools, spas, and patio furniture. It's patio season. Get by Family Leisure and check out the new 2024 patio furniture sets. Pool season will be here before we know it. Buy now to get first in line for your pool installation and get pre-season pricing. Save $1,000 to $5,000 on all spas and swim spas. Also, special pricing on all in-stock saunas, theater seating, pool tables, and outdoor kitchens, but only at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
We're Sports Time. He's Brian. I'm Brett. Our producer is Johnny Hill, and we're with you until 6 o'clock. We want you to be a part of our show at 901-360-8255. Text or talk at that number, and you can send it in. That's our Sissy's Log Cabin text and talk line, and all our guests will appear at 901-360-8255. That's our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. This hour of our show brought to you every day by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2024 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. Call them at 901-334-9673, but stop by the one and only Lexus dealership in town at 2600 Ridgeway and put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2024 flagship LS500, and you'll be looking and you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it's got to be those NBA playoff games from last night. I didn't really know what to expect. I felt like I knew what to expect in that first game. I thought Boston was going to be able to win easily over the Cavs. They had a big second half performance. It was only about a 10-point game at halftime. Cavs were maybe hanging around and maybe make it interesting, but second half, the Celtics really took over, a 120-95 win for them. That second game, though, was the real interesting one. Oklahoma City rocking as the Mavericks walk in and really could not get much going. It was a fun game, back and forth early. They were tied after one quarter. It was really back and forth in that second quarter, but then the Thunder started to dominate both ends of the court, offensively and defensively, to secure that 117-95 win over the Mavericks. They just didn't look right. Luka Doncic kind of got tripped up about middle of the game and really didn't look great after that. Didn't look right after that. So hopefully, I know he's coming in, was game time decision for yesterday's game, but played afterwards. And so I hope that whatever happened last night did not, injure anything more, and that he'll be okay to go. He finished with 19 points, while Kyrie Irving added 20 points. But then on the other side, Oklahoma City, these guys that they brought in, I mean, unbelievable. Chet with 19, SGA with 29, Jalen Williams with 18. You've got Lu Dort, who plays really good defense, gives them a lot of energy. Really impressive performance in game one for them. After what we saw the Mavericks do to the Clippers in that last series, I just really really impressed with the Thunder, and we'll see if they can keep it rolling in game two.
Heartbreak last night for Dallas on the road in basketball and at home at AAC for the Stars in the hockey loss. That's my top story. It's the young guns of Oklahoma City saying, wait a second, we're pretty good too. Minnesota, you're not the only youngsters out here that are good. It was one win in game one, and it was easily over Dallas. Three to go for Oklahoma City, two to go for Minnesota. And what could set up an all-central time zone NBA Western Conference Finals? How about that? Got to check the record the last time you had that, and almost impossible to think about Golden State and the Lakers and the Suns all not being in the Western Conference Finals. We'll check that. But it's the changing of the guard. Some national NBA types, they may not know where Minneapolis and Oklahoma City, how to get there this time of year if they've ever even been there. Boston and New York would drive the East, but Smallville's driving the West.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day, I got to stick with the NBA because I am so fascinated with tonight's matchup. Only one game, a 7 p.m. tip for the Pacers and the Knicks. It's been all everybody can talk about these first couple days since that first game of what happened from those last closing minutes to the call. Then we get the 2-minute report that comes out. And so, I mean, everybody's been talking about it, and that is great buildup for game two. It was so back and forth. The Pacers had opportunities. The Knicks certainly had opportunities that they were finally able to cash in on at the end to win that game. So now back at Madison Square Garden, you got to think it's going to be rocking like it was for game one. We'll see. Can the Knicks get up big with a 2-0 lead at home, or can the Pacers look like they did last time? I know there's been a lot of talk about Tyrese Haliburton and the game he had in game one. I didn't think it was a terrible game. I know people immediately go to the points and see 6 points.
Isn't he hurt?
He's a little hurting. Injured. Hurting, yes, I think would be a better way to say it. But Tyrese Haliburton just does so much that isn't going to show up in the stat sheet, kind of facilitating, setting up that offense. And so I did not think he had a bad game in game one. But we'll see what he does tonight. I don't think it's going to be every game that he only finishes with 6 points. If he goes out there and plays like he usually plays, this one could get really interesting tonight at the Garden.
I agree with you. I think tonight's going to be really good stuff between two old war horse coaches have a lot of similarities in them. My not top story, almost impossible for a guard, a ball handler on one end, to be the defensive player of the year on the other, going against these magicians that can legally palm and legally carry the ball. Tell me the last time you saw either palming or carrying called. It's almost impossible to guard. Marcus Smart won it 2 years ago, and he handles the ball a lot on the offensive end and is a guard. A true point guard hadn't won it since Gary Payton. And Gary Payton, mostly known for his defensive prowess, only won it once. It's hard to win it as a point guard. The big guys, they rule, DPOY.
They sure do. And I think I saw some people on social media the other night when Minnesota was just dominating defensively, and they were like, are we going to have questions about Rudy Gobert winning this when he is announced in a couple of days that he's winning it? Because Minnesota is showing they're so good defensively with or without him. So that was kind of funny to see a lot of people chiming in with that on social media.
I don't know that we appreciate defense and the big fellas like we used to.
No, probably not. I don't think. I mean, I think you'd
say you sure don't in the long slog of the regular season. You maybe now when we condense down to plenty time.
Yeah, I think you don't. We don't appreciate defense in general in the NBA because it
doesn't sell a lot of tickets.
It doesn't. It's the offense.
It wins rings though.
You're absolutely right. It sure does. Well, I'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's go ahead and get to our first break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about all the action that happened last night in the NBA playoffs. We'll also preview tonight's game. We're doing that next on Sports Time.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. And we got to talk about the NBA playoffs. Last night, two games, and both home teams winning very easily in both of those. Brett, what was kind of the biggest thing last night that jumped out to you during those playoff games?
Just how methodical Oklahoma City, their approach. It felt like it was palpable. Mm-hmm. They were saying, us too. Like I said in my top story, you know, we're here and we're really good too. We've heard, you know, for the last few days, you know, the proper, you know, love affair with the basketball media about about Minnesota, but they went out there and they did it, and they're going to have to be reckoned with, and they're going to have to be reckoned with in that West for a long time. It's sobering watching at least two, maybe three, being that far ahead of the Grizzlies.
No, it really is, and you're right. I mean, this rise of the Oklahoma City Thunder has really been something to watch. I mean, I remember we were talking about them last year as kind of this, you know, scrappy team, really young, but we're playing hard.
Around 40 wins.
Yeah, and, you know, they were kind of right there on the edge of maybe making that last play-in spot. And we were kind of wondering in the offseason what kind of jump could they make. And I think a lot of people would agree that, oh, they'll make a jump, maybe be in that play-in group, maybe make a push for that final spot that keeps you out of the play-in, the sixth seed. But I don't think anybody thought that they were going to go out there, have the year they had, get the number one seed, and then continue to play like this in the playoffs. I think it's just been crazy to watch how young this team is. I know how they've built it with all of those draft picks and kind of stocking up those first-round picks, but for that to pan out the way it has so far has really been fun to watch.
Yeah, I left that out. That's a great take by you. Not just, hey, we're here. We're the one seed.
Yeah. I mean, we are on top right now in terms of seeding.
It goes through us.
Yeah, which is
crazy. That's what I thought was really powerful last night. The other game, no surprise. I'm really shocked now Miami got the one game.
Oh, absolutely. I think
me too, Brett.
I think that we didn't react enough to when Miami won. We were just kind of, but that's kind of how Miami is, right? Like, Miami, you would almost be surprised if Miami didn't take a game for some reason. They're so you know, it's that heat culture. And so I think that doesn't surprise me at all that they won one game against the Celtics. I think we lost Brett, but we'll try getting back in a second. Speaking of those games from last night, I mean, we're talking about the Celtics and the Cavs. I think I just don't know if anybody expects them, and I know I talked about it yesterday, but, like, how do you expect this team not to go out there and dominate? They've not shown anything other than the fact that they're going to dominate. And I think we talked yesterday about how all of these lines are always just so in favor of the Celtics. I mean, yesterday, 12.5-point favorite. It felt like almost every game in that first round was about 14.5-point favorite, 13.5-point favorite over the Heat. And yeah, I understand that that was a Miami Heat team that came out of the play-ins and, you know, was, I don't think people really expected much from them. But, you know, you see the Celtics team now against a Cleveland team that I think is really good, and I think I shouldn't say really good, not really good as in like top of the league, but better, you know, a better team than the Miami Heat, a team that has proven it every single, outing this year, that they can be a playoff team, that they are a surefire playoff team, and they've certainly impressed me so far. I don't know about you, Johnny, if you feel the same way about the Celtics team. I think the whole NBA playoffs run through them.
Yeah, I agree to a degree, though. I really like Minnesota right now.
Yeah.
I really like how they going. They shooting on all cylinders right now.
Sure.
They really look hot right now. But I'm not surprised that the Miami Heat did get a win because, you know, the Heat culture. But there is a little conflict with the Heat culture.
Sure.
With, I don't know if you've seen, but Pat Riley and Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler. That's going to be interesting.
So they're having a little conflict right now.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting to see how that one plays out because I think, you know, Jimmy Butler has been the star there. He's been kind of the focal point, and certainly you don't want those two kind of going at each other. So we'll see how that plays out. But I think right now it might be all Boston.
What did you think of Pat Riley's comments about Jimmy Butler and him talking after that series ended?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I didn't think it would turn into what it has kind of turned into. I didn't like it, but now I think raises real questions because I know what they're saying. Well, we're not going to make any moves. We're not going to make any trades. But I think it certainly started something within that organization between him and that front office.
You know, how many times have I talked about how much I love the Heat culture, and it's led by one of the grand figures in the history of the NBA, and that's Pat Riley. I loved it, Brian. I loved it for this reason. First of all, if you're not in there in the middle of it, in the sweating and the bleeding, I know you got hurt.
Sure.
I know you got hurt playing hard for us. But if you're not in there, don't do any of the talking post-game. And Pat Riley de facto said to him, you're the player.
Yeah. No, that's a
and
really
And nobody good tells them that anymore. Nobody.
That's another good
I
point.
Agree, Brett, because the NBA is so player-friendly. Sure. Not a lot of people talk back to the players. And a
it's
lot of
team
players,
sport.
Yeah.
If you want an individual sport, get you a set of golf clubs or a bicycle or a tennis racket. Or, this is a team sport.
Or a pool. You
or a boxing.
Or a pool cue.
But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think Jimmy Butler, you know, not playing there, then wanting to talk so much after the fact – I think you're right. I mean, you know, what are you saying right now? Like, you didn't even play, you know, let those guys do the talking, not you. So, you're right. But I mean, I think it raises the question now because we've seen so many times, obviously not with the Heat, but around the NBA when even the, like, slightest, littlest thing happens between a player and the front office, it kind of becomes, it goes from a very little thing to a massive thing. And we usually see those relationships completely stop.
I don't know how this plays out in 6 weeks in the cancel culture world we live in. Pat Riley could be canceled.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
if man. You can get Pat Riley, you can get anybody.
You can get anybody. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah, no, that was definitely interesting after they got kicked out. I'm curious, before we get to a break here in a couple minutes, you know, we both mentioned in Top and Not Top Story about kind of the excitement for this game tonight between the Pacers and the Knicks. How do you think this plays out? Because game one was so back and forth. It was so
tight. It's
going to
be just like it.
You think we're going to have the same thing tonight?
If it's a blowout, I'll be stunned and sure be stunned if it's Indiana on the road. We said yesterday, I didn't think they minded, except for, the result, being down 0-1. But all they want is a split.
Yeah. That's right. And I think
they got a chance to get that.
Yeah, and we talked about it yesterday. I think they showed a lot even in that loss. Like, I think I came away more impressed and more having more faith in the Pacers. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and you talked about it yesterday. The Knicks kind of, you know, they had to find ways to win games in that first round. They got lucky a couple of times.
Crowd sure helped. They earned that with the seeding.
Absolutely. But I think, you know, to go on the road and to have a performance like that where you were that close to pulling the upset in game one, I think that gives you a lot of confidence. I know no moral victories. I'm the first person to hate on moral victories. But I think you have some confidence after that of, hey, like you just said, Brett, we can go in there. We can do this. We can still win on the road.
I call it learn from it losses, not moral victories.
I like that. Learn from it losses. I like that. Yeah, a learn from it loss. Game one, see what happens
in
game two.
For a lot of these Pacers, this is the first time through this for sure this far in the playoffs, if at all. I mean, this is a really young team.
Yeah.
That was a bold hiring Rick Carlisle, because many wondered, you know, how hungry would he be after finally getting his championship with Mark Cuban in Dallas.
Yeah, but certainly still hungry.
He had plenty left.
Yeah, plenty left and is looking really good. And I think you even look deeper at some of those acquisitions that have, you know, played a huge factor, like, you know, Pascal Siakam, who was, you know, up in Toronto, and they go out and get him in a trade and bring him in, and he's been big time for them this season and has played a key role for them, and I think will continue to step up big. And you look at some of those other pieces that have stepped up, has definitely, you know, been fun to watch this team, led by Tyrese Haliburton. We'll see what he looks like tonight in game two. Like I said earlier, a lot of people kind of, I don't want to say talking bad about how he played in game two, but I think more people saying that he, you know, was just kind of forgotten about out there. You know, you kind of missed him and only had 6 points in that first game and didn't shoot great. I think 2 for 6 from the field. So I think you would hope to see something better from scoring the ball, but I think you know you're going to have him out there facilitating. I think you're going to have him out there bringing it on the defensive end. So we'll see how this one plays out tonight. Should be a really fun one. Like I said, 7 o'clock tonight on TNT, and we'll certainly talk more about that game a little bit later when we talk to Rob Fisher at 5 o'clock. But let's go ahead and get to a break, and when we come back, another fun exercise. Yesterday we ranked the coaches remaining. Now we'll get to the players, the top 10 NBA players right now in the playoffs. We'll do that next on Sports Time.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and fun exercise we got to get to. Yesterday we did the coaches, but now we're going to get to the players. Top 10 NBA players right now in the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of similarities we have. But Brett, where do you want to start? How do you want to go about this?
Guess where we're going tomorrow.
Oh, no. Tomorrow is a Thursday. What are we doing on a Thursday?
Rank the buildings, the 8 buildings in these playoffs that you most would want to be at every game it hosts.
Well, I hope we're all in agreement on number 1. I can tell
1 and 2 are easy, aren't they?
I think so.
1's the Garden, and the other one is still affectionately called. Well, it is TD Garden.
Exactly. So,
but it's not Boston Garden.
Yes, I think it's 1 and 2 are easy.
It's not Kurt Gowdy saying, good evening and welcome to fame, Boston Garden.
No, it is not.
All right, you start with 10, and then I'll tell you my 10.
Okay, I love this. All right, number 10 for me, Jamal Murray.
That's exactly mine.
You're kidding.
That is exactly mine.
Oh, my gosh.
I promise you. I know you can't read. My writing's horrible. But.
Well. It's also a little blurry, but that's okay.
It's almost in code.
Well, as long as you can read it, Brad, that's all that matters. That's why I tell everybody when they go after me for my handwriting. Number 9, I have Derek White.
I do not have him on my list. Number 9 for me, Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell's good. Wow, I completely forgot about Donovan Mitchell. Wow, I feel ashamed now.
Plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Thank you, yes. Well, hello, Donovan Mitchell. Let me introduce myself to you. Who do you have?
Shout out from Memphis.
Yeah, shout out from Memphis. Who do you have at 8?
Number 8, Jaylen Brown.
All right. I also don't have Jaylen Brown on mine. I have for number 8, Chet Holmgren.
I do not have Chet Holmgren on my
Chet's
list.
Been massive for OKC.
But I do have What a Girl Wants on my iPod.
Oh, how about
on iTunes, on Apple iTunes.
Hey, Brad, that's legendary, man.
Johnny, don't think for a second I'm kidding either.
Hey, hey,
may even fire that music before we're done.
I was going to say, he'll play it, but while
we're
out, I'm sure.
We never know what's in that phone, man.
You literally never know.
Number 7 for you.
Number 7 for me, Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving. I'll withhold comment until I get to Kyrie Irving on my list.
All right.
Number 7 for me, SGA.
All right. Wow. Okay. I like that. Number 6 for me. 2 you had at number 7, SGA for the Thunder. So we're very similar on SGA.
For me, I have Jalen Brunson.
All right. Wow. At number 5. Holy
at number
cow.
5. That he's my crazy. Number 1 player I want to watch. Most riveting.
Or number 5 or 6. I might have gotten the number.
I have Brunson 6.
Okay, 6. Wow.
But he's the number 1 player I want to stop and watch.
Wow.
But right now, I think in ability, and I don't want to disparage anyone. I just think my 5 in front of him are better.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Number 5 for me, I have Tyrese Halliburton.
I do not have him on my list.
Wow. No Tyrese Halliburton.
Number 5 for me, yes, 5, Anthony Edwards.
Holy cow. See, I think Brett and I might have gone about this different ways in our range.
Yeah, I'm curious. Y'all lists are a lot opposite. Uh-huh.
There's a start line. There's a finish line. You can get to it however you see fit.
I think if
you want to run backwards, you can run backwards.
If you want
to skip around the track, you can skip around the track.
I think I might be running backwards.
No, I'm not casting right and wrong. It's your opinion. It's like music.
Sure.
It's why do I have what a girl wants on my iTunes.
Hey, man. I love it, man.
I think a lot of people have the same question of why do you have that on your...
I'm not sure SGA Holmgren's version is not better than Christina's.
Well, I don't know if either of them are very good. Huh.
Brett, hey man, you a legend, dog. You is a legend, dog.
Number four.
Number four for me, Jason Tatum.
Number four for me is JT.
Wow,
Jason Tatum from St. Louis Mo.
That's right. Number three for you?
Luka Doncic.
Number three for me, also Luka Doncic. How about that?
Okay. We got to see if we get further. We get around that track.
That's
it kind of like at the Kentucky Derby and down the stretch they come.
Right. I think we're about to get some separation.
Number two, Nikola Jokic.
Number two for me, did I miss Nikola Jokic on here?
He hadn't been named yet. That's a real different way to get to the
right.
finish line.
I'm trying to remember because I know I wrote his
name. We all have a way
you
to get
Chet Holmgren. You may not have the Joker.
Okay, we're going to move everybody down one,
okay? We can do that.
Because I guess I don't know what happened. It's been a very busy day, and a lot has happened today.
Understood.
Forgive me. So we're going to take Jamal Murray out. Everybody's going to move down a slot. And then coming in for number three for me is going to be... I'll actually say coming in number four for me is going to be Jokic. So now,
So you got Tatum or Jokic at four?
I've got Jokic at four. I got Tatum at five. Everyone's dropping down one behind him.
I got you.
We still got Luka at three.
Count me at somewhat confused playing along at home.
It's okay. I'm sure everyone's confused. I'm also confused. I don't know what
number. I thought we were at two, but you tell me what
we're
number.
We're at number two now. We're at number two, Brett.
I'm going to stay with Nikola Jokic.
Okay, number two for me, Anthony Edwards.
Okay, very good.
Uh-huh. And number one for you?
Kyrie Irving.
Wow. I love that, bro. I mean, you know how much I love...
And he's number two on my most want to go see.
Wow.
When he comes to Memphis, whatever team he's on, I make a point to go to that game. I think he's one of the most exciting players to ever play the game and fully, fully dedicated... I mean, we've gotten Kyrie Irving with him at about 90% commitment.
Sure. Yeah. It's been plenty of time to see him.
And I would imagine every coach that's ever had him on any level, man, if you'll go 100%, could he have any more money? Could he? He's got a title. Could he have any more acclaim?
Sure.
He's made it work. I just don't think it's ever been the full commitment.
No, he makes it look easy, so maybe he is.
He's interested in a lot of other things.
Sure,
great. They don't pay like this pays, but he's been
true.
Paid very well by this.
He has. Now, let me go through my top 10 very quickly again, because I know a lot of people are probably confused.
Count me as confused.
Yes, okay. So we're going to have an OLI, an outside looking in.
This is proof.
Palmer.
This is not a recorded segment.
Absolutely.
Because this will go, Johnny, start. Run the tape from the top.
Let's start it over again.
Start it over.
Because Bryant's a moron and doesn't know how to rank players.
No, you're not, Brian.
Not my words. No, not my words. Not my thoughts.
My words. I've got a friend that listens.
Brian, you're very harsh on yourself.
And say you're a moron.
Don't be hard on yourself. There are plenty of people on that text line that'll do it for you.
That's right.
Hey, great. That is true.
I mean, like I said, I've got a buddy who's I know is listening right now, and I'm sure he's going to text me in a second that I'm a moron. If he hasn't yet, I'm telling him now to text me that I'm a moron. So here's my list real quick. OLI, Jamal Murray. Number 10, Derek White. Number 9, Chet Holmgren. What Chet Holmgren does, I mean, look at all the advanced metric numbers. He's been huge for them.
And it's without a chest.
That's very true, but he has gotten a little bigger with that injury. Kyrie
An
Irving, number 8.
Singer.
Absolutely. I mean, who hasn't seen that commercial? 8, Kyrie Irving. 7, SGA. 6, Tyrese Halliburton. 5, Jason Tatum. 4, Nikola Jokic. 3, Luka Doncic. 2, Anthony Edwards. And number 1, Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson, number one.
Jalen Brunson. Okay. I mean, what he's been doing this playoffs. And I think a lot of people could probably see how I did my list. Pretty much what they're doing now, this playoffs, this postseason. And Jalen Brunson
wrecked,
has been great.
The re-kilter wrecked our agreement.
It did. I know. I apologize.
That's okay.
That's
no apologies necessary.
No, I'm going to take the blame for that. That is on me. I guess I was trying to do too many things at once when I was making this list.
I think I stunned you with my Christina Aguilera on my iTunes. I think that rocked
I think
you.
That's what got me off. Because I'm sure he's somewhere in here, and I just missed it. And if something happened, you start playing all this music.
So you know I have the songs alphabetical. This will really rock you comes after What a Girl Wants.
Oh, jeez.
It could be the last thing I say today. Okay. I may just sign off for the day.
What is it?
What do you want from me by Adam Lambert?
A man of many interests, Brett Norsworthy. That's him. A man of many musical interests. Well, let's go ahead and get to a break and wrap up our first hour. When we come back, we're talking golf with John Goen from Timber Trust.